cold callers behind me.
All right, we're live, Joe.
Hope we didn't catch that before.
Hey, Joe, how's life in the boiler room over there?
It's good, real good. You know, actually got out and got some exercise this morning.
Excellent.
Instead of wading through everything, you know, I woke up, saw up 10%, said, let's go get some exercise.
So, awesome. Yeah, you didn't have to do anything.
No. So I just walked.
And, so it's Uptober or what did you call it? Cryptober?
Cryptober,
yeah. Oh, crypto. No, it should be it should be Cryptoctober.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say, though.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with Uptober. Yeah. I like up.
And then next month will be more up Ember, right?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Listen, if we have a fourth quarter like last year, I'm going to be a happy camper. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you looked at the Jarvis Labs analysis, Ben Lilly's stuff the other day. I mean, he's showing a lot of, and to sum it all up, really good data in there, but about HODL waves and things like that. But he's showing a huge uptick in calls versus, you know, puts, which has always been a pre-indicator of somebody knows something.
Right.
I think the speculation is the ETF, BTC futures ETF that Gensler's been talking about. So maybe the word's leaking already. You know, I'm not sure. But, you know, hey, Mick, sounds for a good quarter to me.
Yeah, I'm in with that. I'm in with that. Look, you know. Okay, so I was gonna load the links you sent me. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, I mean, we always talk about ETH and stacking ETH right now.
Yeah,
which way it's going?
Let me get that link up.
Yeah, let's look at the burns, the emissions, because what you can just see is, you know, ETH really is burning supply right now.
Oh yeah, let me get that image up. Hold on, let me get that image. Was that image from that article you sent me, or is it separate?
I think it was separate. I saw it in one of my other groups.
All right. Let me see if I can get this to load over here.
But yeah, the premise is, you know, for ETH 2.0. And, you know, what are the ramifications of that versus Solana, versus Near, versus Polkadot, versus all the other BSC, the competing chains, per se. And, you know, how will it affect gas prices in particular? It looks all good for price of token going, you know, as supply goes down, if demand stays constant, token go up. But if demand goes up, then you get those kind of accelerated upswings. So it shows that a lot of the, I can't remember what that one was, the last was it 1559 or something like that implementation?
Yeah, that was the
the last one, right?
It gives us the burn.
Yeah. So this shows the practical effects of that.
I'm almost there. I had to download and save that image. So keep talking and make up.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's one of the things we're always looking at is what makes the most sense. And it gets to the point like this morning, you know, when everything was up 10%, you know, I mean, everything was up. You kind of go, okay, this is raising the boat, so to speak, everywhere. So, you know, when you look at something like where would you be stacking coins, you know, this makes a big case for, you know, take a look at ETH, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and how it's going to constrict supply. And, you know, as demand obviously goes up by price, then.
Look at that. 1.2 billion burned.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
Yes. So that's the new, you know,
and 2.2 billion in staking rewards. Is that right? Am I? Wow.
Yeah. So this is becoming not only the commerce platform and the business platform, but also now you got to start thinking, is this an ETH 10,000 story by the end of the year?
Ooh.
I don't know, but it's looking encouraging. At least part of the way there. You know, so that's, you know, my thing is I look at that. And right now, the layer twos and the other, you know, chains, you know, they have advantage in that they're a little bit faster and they're a little bit cheaper, a lot cheaper.
Right.
And that's why we can do all these tricks in DeFi there. But if ETH is going to be at the same speed, maybe higher token price, but lower gas fees, you know, that might be an issue. for a lot of these. Something to consider strategically when you're allocating across your portfolio.
Of course, the fees are still brutal.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, I went into one, you know, one of those NFT fractionalized portfolio pools like Unik.ly. And, you know, I wanted to just like, well, maybe I should just maneuver around in here, and to do anything, it's like $100.
Right.
And so I go, you know, I'm not pulling down, you know, $200 in rewards for $100. I'll just wait.
Yeah.
But you know, you can't compound. So
right.
That kind of, that hurts the whole premise.
Wow. These are great numbers, man.
Yeah. When I saw it, I was in disbelief myself at first. And I, holy moly, it is, you know, these changes are working. Well,
so you've got net issuance of 1.165 billion and burned of 1.327 billion.
Yep. So we're going deflationary at that point. You know,
they said the estimates were this wouldn't happen until December sometime, the last chart I saw.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I know. It seems like now, so we're in a, you know, a negative burn rate where, you know, now that pool is going to be shrinking. You know, when you compare that to BTC, the BTC pool doesn't shrink.
Yeah.
It stays flat. You know, other stuff gets lost, things like that. But now we have a situation where the ETH supply is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Incredible.
Which is, you know, you know, that's another new thing from this cycle that we didn't really have in 18, 17, 18, 19 timeframe, was this whole concept of deflationary tokens. I mean, the model back then was to, you know, do the ICO or token generating event and cut out, you know, what, a billion tokens and then another 8 billion behind that.
Right.
Just look at like Cardano, Stellar, Tron, all of those. Not picking on them. It was just the way it was done then. And now you get these situations where, you know, there's the governance token, there's the utility token, and there's smaller issuances.
Yep.
You know, I've seen quite a few with like 10,000, 50,000. So when you look at things like that, you know, or, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 10 million, those are, you know, those are also typically deflationary pools. So as the stuff gets used, it gets burned and supply goes down. I think that's an interesting thing to always look at when you're evaluating something is, you know, I guess we used to call it tokenomics. You know, now I think it's more about, you know, how many tokens are going to come online in the future? When is that going to happen? Or is it truly, you know, the fair launch concept where they're all launched at the beginning and that's all there is?
Right.
I tend to like the latter just because, you know, it's, I don't know, if I look at something that has 6 billion tokens, I'm like, really? How high can this get? You know, really? You know, if it's a dollar, there's your $6 billion market cap. And, you know, not much, you know, there's not many that get to that level, you know.
Absolutely.
Of market cap. Maybe 20.
Absolutely. So, yeah, of course.
So.
Incredible. So part of that is they're moving along with ETH 2.0. Do they give any time frames in this article yet?
I think they're keeping that. I don't remember if there was anything specific in there, but I think they
Altera comes October 27th, but nobody's given any estimates on the final 2.0.
Well, you know how this stuff has been delayed. I mean, like any software rollout, there's always some delay issues. And I think that, you know, they're just not, you know, it's sort of similar to like the router super mesh on DFYN. You know, they tried to hit the windows they projected, but, you know, they have the best code audit firm in there doing the audit, and you know, they're not going to rush them. They want to be thorough. So now, you know, they're going to delay sometime later this month, but you know, that's the smart thing. Cause you do not want to launch with an exploit in there.
Oh no.
That someone's going to come in and identify, and then you're just done at that point. I mean,
yep. So right now I'm listening to this book whenever I'm running around town, by Camilla Russo, who runs the Defiant. Which is, you know, pretty big in the DeFi, Ethereum space, media companies. I am so glad I'm listening to this book, man. It is, I had no concept kind of the level of details and the chronology of what happened around launching Ethereum and everything that went into it. Highly recommend it. Like, gives me so much perspective now when I, like, when we're talking about, this is the reason I pulled it up, because we're talking about the upgrade process, right? Like, right now in the book, she's talking about how the, what Vitalik's thought process was as he went through thinking about how to get to proof of stake, why he was doing it, how he's looking at sharding and making it performant. And so I highly recommend this book. I didn't have high expectations, but it's awesome. Just really well done. I'm listening. Yeah. I'm not reading it, but it's really good.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I mean, that's something that, I mean, that has been quite a journey for the ETH guys.
Yeah.
When you look at, you know, I still do a lot of work, still have, you know, connections there, but at Consensus in New York, and just, you know, the commercialization arm of ETH headed by Joe Lubin, I believe.
Yeah, Joe Lubin. Well, he's in the book. You know, he talks a lot about how he was involved early and then wanted to be a for-profit, wanted Ethereum not to be a non-profit, wanted to be a for-profit. So he went ahead and built the for-profit. And goes through the whole thing with the head of Cardano and how he was the CEO and everyone on the team hated him. And they were having a meeting one night in this house in Switzerland where they were all meeting. And like eight of the guys just bombarded him and basically told Vitalik, you know, he's gone or we are. And it was like, okay, well, so anyway, that's why he ended up building Cardano, because he was very upset with how he was treated by the Ethereum guys. It was a really interesting story.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, these are, it's tricky because they're kind of CEO type alpha personalities, but they're also introverted coder types too.
Yeah.
So you get these kind of like, you know, I don't want to say difficult to manage, but, you know, strong opinionated people that have the way they want to do it.
Yeah.
And so if the team's not going to do it that way, they're going to go do it themselves. And, you know, I applaud that strategy myself.
Absolutely.
But I'll have to check that out. So I wanted to go through a couple of pools that I found recently.
Okay, great.
That I thought everybody might be interested in. One is over on, you know, another DeFi place I've been checking out is this crystal.finance.
I got it open.
Okay. Now, you know, I was attracted to it because one, you know, I don't know if you know, but I've been, you know, kind of playing in the NFT space a little bit too.
Yep.
And, you know, I'd acquired some of these Azuki tokens, which is, Doki Doki. Interesting play there. You know, they kind of do a random number generator, kind of spin machine where you can get a random NFT from certain artists and things like that. So it's really clever in its own way. But this pool itself here, you know, I had some sitting and doing nothing, so I decided to jump over there with the Matic. I think it's Matic Azuki.
Yeah.
Same. I have a ton of Matic that I'm just not doing anything. And, you know, jumped in at like, I think I was the first one in or the second one in. But, you know, at one point, I guess it was, you know, 230,000 APY. But, you know, as we know, that only lasted for about 10 minutes.
Sure.
And it's been hanging here in the 500, 700 range since yesterday. So, you know, basically you're earning, it's a, you know, on Polygon. So you don't have a lot of gas fees. You're earning Crystal, which is their token. And then you can, on the other tab to the right, I think it's either, I can't see the screen that well, but it's either mine or liquidity, pools. You can then stake the Crystal in an auto compounding pool for more Crystal. You know,
over here?
I think it's there, yeah.
And auto just, Crystal.
Yeah.
Wait, so you take the Crystal that they're generating for you, and instead of compounding it back into the Azuki farm, or what do they call them, mines?
Yeah.
You're putting it in here and gaining 511% APY on the Crystal auto compounding pool.
Yes.
Awesome.
So 700% or so APY on the Azuki Matic pool, the rewards spinning off, I then restake for 500%.
Nice.
And it just auto compounds in, so I can, you know, forget about it. I don't have to do anything now.
The rewards, but you still have to come back. The rewards you get from the Azuki pool, you still have to move into this pool, right? It's not automatically into this pool.
No, that part is.
That would be a nice feature.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that what's interesting when we look at all these sites, I mean, people call things different names, mines and like pools and vaults and LPs and all that stuff. But, you know, you see all these new features, like, you know, we mentioned the other day that nuke button on Matrix Swap, which, by the way, I did take a little piece of that pool because it's over on DFYN and the launch pools. I took a little piece of that just because it was 500% APY and the tech looked pretty cool. And, you know, also playing on the whole China thing where, you know, like we were talking about, I think a couple sessions ago about the DYDX thing where, you know, there is kind of a, since you don't own anything there, there's synthetics or there, you know, derivatives. Does that violate the China crypto ban for Chinese? So, you know, are they moving it? So that's kind of why I think they're in HK. That's what I kind of looked at it thinking, well, maybe this has a play there too. Not that the Chinese government would eventually catch up, but, you know, it's just people are people, you know,
that's right.
We go where the money is.
Yeah.
And so I took a little piece of that, but, you know, unfortunately it is in one of those locked pools where you only get, I think, 20% of the rewards at the end of the session. And then the rest has to releases over like a 6 month period. So I kind of, that's not my favorite thing, but sometimes it's good because then you know, you're forced to hodl it and not worry about it at that point. So I figured just build a little bag of that and go from there. But this one I'm kind of digging in because there are some nice yields on Crystal. There's a lot of decent plays there. And when you look at what DFYN has, look at what Crystal has, look at what SushiSwap has, Quick, you know, you could find usually three or four pools or opportunities for just about all the major tokens.
Love that.
And just go for the highest APYs and, you know, bail when you want to bail.
That's beautiful.
You know, I've been doing that strategy on QuickSwap with the Mona Vale token, which I don't know if we talked about that yet.
We talked about it in the previous episode, but not really in depth.
Well, this is really, I mean, it's NFTs, but it's digital fashion NFTs. So people are actually designing outfits and skins.
What was their website again?
Digital Axe. Dot something dot XYZ. That's right. Dot XYZ. And, you know, they basically, you know, can buy the NFTs and then people can buy them and then use this, deploy the skins on their characters in popular games.
And do not visit their site if you have epilepsy.
Yeah, no, it's a freaky looking site. I know. I always like, I'm always like, calm down. Jesus. Yeah, it's a lot.
Holy crap.
I think it kind of, but it's a little overwhelming, but you kind of, if you look at their, like, I think they got an NFT section there or something of fashion stuff that's being auctioned. And also you can do fractionalization of these, outfits. So I think that's kind of intriguing because if, however you look at society, if we're really kind of going to this digital, you know, VR, AR, avatar concept, then, you know, digital fashion is going to be just as important as regular fashion.
And absolutely.
Also, think about just, you know, 3D printing, for example. I mean, I guess you could do an outfit or maybe there's a way to do it somehow, but, you know, then you could basically, you know, I was thinking about like Gucci or, you know, any of the big brands, you know, what if, you know, each bag was an NFT too, you know, and, you know, so you could deploy that of value and it was also stored on a blockchain for all of the, anti-counterfeiting type operations.
That I love.
So I see this as kind of something that's going to sort of be part of evolving into that thing. Because let's say you go to Neiman's and you go buy yourself whatever, your, you know, little Gucci backpack or something.
I can't wait to see you with your Gucci backpack.
Yeah, sorry. I don't go that fly. You know what I mean? I'm pretty, I kind of just go neutrals. But, you know, but think about if you could then take the stuff you buy in the real world, physical world, and then deploy it on your characters in esports games or in any type of game. So when you buy that bag or those pair of shoes or, you know, the jacket or hat, you also get, you know, kind of an NFT representation that you can add to your avatar or your character.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of interesting things there, you know, in ways that, you know, are part of the future.
Absolutely. No, that's so very cool.
So there's two pools on QuickSwap for that one. There's Monavail and Quick, and there's Monavail paired with USDT. One's like 1,100%, and I think the other's about 7% right now.
Okay.
So, you know, you go in there, you get Quick, you sell half of it for Mona, and you re-add it to the pool.
That's awesome.
Again, layer two. So, again, I was in this early when it was like $1,500. I think I got in at like 9, went up to 14, and then I saw it go to 12, and then I was out. And then I jumped back in when it was down around 2-something back in July, August timeframe. And then I've been kind of just reaccumulating at that point.
It's awesome.
You know, hoping for a little run. So,
hey, is there a secret for adding a Zuki at this Crystal Finance site?
Not that I know of.
They don't have any way to add it, and it's not in the list.
Oh, you mean buy it? Do you have it in your wallet?
Yeah, I've got it in my wallet. I'm trying to add an LP. And
oh, you have to approve it first.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's no place to approve it.
Hold on, let me pull it up. I'll show you where.
Normally, it's in the token list, like on Swap or on Liquidity. And
I know what you do. Go to okay, we're doing a mine of Azuki and Matic, right? That's what you're looking at.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to do the LP first, right?
Right. So see, hit the bar.
I did, and I clicked the link to go add LP, and then Matic is on the top, and Azuki isn't in the bottom. And then when I go to the token list to add Azuki at the bottom on the LP, well, let's do this offline.
No, I had that issue too, and I unlocked my wallet, and then
Connected my wallet like four times.
Yeah, and I was overlooking. Yeah, and then I was over in the parent info. There was an issue. I had an issue with that too. I can't remember.
I'll message into him. Okay, so another one of our favorite projects, or mine at least, two of mine in a deal, which I love. Olympus DAO launched this Olympus Pro program, and Alchemix went live with that today. I'm actually interviewing Scoopy from Alchemix next week, and just finished interviewing Zeus from Olympus DAO. Both really brilliant guys running great DAOs for their projects. But essentially what this is a big component of Olympus DAO being a stable reserve currency is having bonds available. And so the community decided to launch this Olympus Pro service that allows any project to come in and launch bonds for their project, which actually provides a more stable source of liquidity and provides an outlet for the treasury of the project than we typically are getting with our liquidity pools and yield farms. And I think this is a part of a bigger picture of a lot more projects probably going to start moving away from token emissions for in the traditional yield farm and liquidity pool model. I think we're going to start seeing a little bit of that dropping off on the larger project. So anyway, I'm excited to see this. I'm glad you sent me this tweet. I love both of these projects. I'd like to see the Alchemix price doing a little better, but I'm very pleased with what they're doing from a development perspective.
Well, it's a great model. I mean, I remember looking at that when you introduced me to it about 6 months back, and we were looking at it. And the whole premise, if I recall, is that you can basically stake crypto there, like, you know, ETH, BTC, whatever. And then you, if I'm not mistaken, then you get another, you can borrow on that and you get a token. I think it's ALUSD that you could then restake. But
yep,
essentially, they basically capture yield in their investments. And then that yield goes to pay off your borrowing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So let's say you want to buy a Tesla. Let's say the Tesla is $70,000. You can deposit $140,000 in Alchemix, and you can then take out $70,000 in their stablecoin, USD stablecoin. You can convert that, take it out, go buy your Tesla. Unfortunately, I don't think they're taking Bitcoin again yet at Tesla, because then that conversion would be even easier. Go buy your Tesla. And then in the meantime, Alchemix is paying off the $70,000 you took out as kind of an advance on your earnings. it is automatically paying it off. And so essentially at the, by the time that is all paid off by the yield from the investments that their system makes automatically into stable pools and vaults, you've gotten a free Tesla, right? You haven't paid anything for the Tesla. The real loss there for you is opportunity cost because your funds are locked up. But the beauty of it is you never make a payment on buying a $70,000 car.
Yeah. And that's, and also you kind of have, you know, you have it in the vault, whatever you staked there. Yep. So if you believe, let's say it's ETH, and you believe in what we talked about earlier today about, you know, supply is dropping.
Yep.
Price is going to go up. Then, yep, you know, that helps you because then you, you know, you get to take a little money off the top, go get your dream ride. And all of a sudden, you know, a couple of years later, you, that crypto is now worth a lot more.
Exactly. And so, you're still holding on. Yeah, you've still got that crypto. That's the beauty of it. If you believe in that long-term hold, it makes a ton of sense.
And I also like it if you don't believe in a long, if you don't, if you think it's, even if you think, hey, worst case scenario, yeah,
tank, right?
Yeah, then you still got the Tesla.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. So you could do that with a house, a college education, or let's say you want to become a venture capitalist, right? Yeah. And let's say you've got $10 million from, or $20 million, you want to be an angel investor. Well, guess what? Put your $20 million in the Alchemix vault and take out $10 million and invest risk-free in as many startups as you want, right? Yeah. Invest in crypto projects, invest in tokens, whatever you want, because you know that at the end of that period, I guess right now it's like, I think it might be like 4 to 7 years that the final payoff comes just because things are down. That'll probably accelerate if we go on another bull run here. But at the end of that time frame, you've invested all this money. If you had returns on those investments, hot damn, because it's free money, because you are basically investing risk-free in everything else, right? So I love that model. I love Alchemix. I absolutely love Alchemix.
Let me ask a question. Is there any way in that scenario, let's say all of a sudden you were getting antsy, you know, a year or so in, and let's say ETH went from 3,000 to 30,000, and you're like,
yeah.
Could you pay the loan yourself just to unlock it?
You can just pay it off. Yep, absolutely. You can pay it off. You can start withdrawing as well in advance. This is the Alchemix website, alchemix.fi. Mm-hmm. You can start paying it off in advance if you want. But, I mean, it's a pretty easy process. You deposit the funds, you borrow the funds, and you let it run. And well, the system just runs for you. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I guess in that, now that I'm thinking about what I just proposed, is that, look, if ETH has gone to 30,000, you just can borrow more money at that point.
You can look, there are all kinds of strategies in their Discord. People talk about them all the time, of reinvesting the funds, doing multiple loops into deposits and borrowing. You know, I'm a pretty straightforward guy. I don't go too intricate, but there are a lot of ways to turn this and do some cool things with it. And the nice thing is you know that the money you put in there is still in there. And by the way, Alchemix is really tight on security. They have an auditor that is doing, that does real-time audits on every change to their system and monitors their smart contracts for them in real time. So it's not just the audits they did of the code. It's like a real-time, constantly monitoring their smart contracts to make sure there's no issue. So it's impressive. Yeah, it's an impressive project, impressively run. Like I said, I did an interview with them on the podcast. I've got an interview coming up with Scoopy on the podcast shortly. Another anonymous team, by the way. Two of my biggest investments are in anonymous teams, and couldn't be happier. Both of them have very strong communities. So,
It's all in the math. If you understand the math, then you don't have to have people.
Exactly. We're at a meritocracy, right? That's what we're building in DeFi, is a true meritocracy.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We talked about that Aave strategy a couple times back, where, you know, you stake it like that and you pull down, you know, you borrow the stables and then you go farm the stables, or you buy another token and farm that. You know, you can do the same thing with Alchemix. You know, you pull down that 10 million, go stake it on, you know, a couple of platforms in stable coin pools and earn 25 to 50% off of that, on top of them paying off that for you.
Yep.
Very risk-free strategy. And again, if Alchemix tanked, or anything went away, you would still have the money.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's what people sort of forget. Oh my God, I'm going to get liquidated. Well, you know, you would have been, if you were holding it spot, it's still, the price is the price.
Exactly.
You know, this just is like a hedge play too, you know?
Yep.
Where, you know, you're banking, you're locking in 50% of that value, and then you're staking that somewhere else to earn 25% on that or more. So it's, again, it's a risk mitigation strategy, although it sounds risky. Well, you know, I don't know if you've done this, but you were talking a little bit about those. Somebody was talking about this on Aave again, and, you know, and I tried it once. I just never, doesn't quite make a lot of sense to me, but, you know, you borrow the stables. You know, let's say you staked a bunch of Matic, you borrow stables, then you go buy more Matic, stake the Matic, borrow more stables, buy more Matic, stake more Matic. So, you know, you turn 5,000 Matic into, like, I don't know, 10,000 Matic, let's say.
Right.
But, you know, your risk factor is pretty high at that point if the price moves.
Yeah.
You know, you could get totally wiped out on that whole thing.
Of course. So,
because you're not, you know, you have it back in the platform rather than holding it in another platform.
Yep.
So I don't particularly like that strategy, but, you know, that Ouroboros kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, it's,
I don't need that stress. It. Yeah. I don't need the stress of trying to unwind that. That sounds scary.
And then trying to get out when everything's moving fast and
the
wallet's clog. Yeah.
No.
But that's just another one I've heard people doing. I don't do it, but yeah. So anything else you want to talk about today?
Real quick, I'm going to reveal my little stake here at VDFYN. So I did a little rant the other day because this interface did not have this at the bottom. So the end user had to figure out what the hell their... So it's a vault to stake for a higher level governance token on DFYN, right? And you stake your DFYN and you get issued VDFYN. Well, what happens is this number never changes, okay? So this number here stays the same. That's the VDFYN you were given. But you see this 96.68% APR, right?
Yeah.
Well, this number of the current value was not there, did not exist. They didn't show it in the interface. So what you had to do was, and I had to ask, because I didn't understand how the hell I figured out if I was making any money, because this number wasn't changing. I'm like, where's my tokens? Well, it turns out you have to calculate, because what changes is the ratio. So the ratio here is where the APR gets reflected, right? So you had to go in, you had to take this, you had to do the math. What's 1227570? Blah, 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 blah. And then you got your total DFYN. So I did my little rant, and that ended up that the CEO of DFYN is going to be on the podcast next week. But I did my little rant and gave them a ton of notes on UI and UX at DFYN and thought, well, let's see what happens. They put me in a Telegram room with developers and executives, and I'm giving them all this feedback. And then a day and a half later, bam, they've got a solution in place. I was like, well, that's pretty impressive and responsive. You know, now, granted, I've got almost 15,000 followers, so that may have been why they responded. But, you know, at the end of the day, the fact that they're acknowledging this stuff and they want to hear what you have to say to me is a really good sign for that platform. I'm actually really excited to interview the CEO because, like you and I talked about, I think we talked about that yesterday, right? Their whole multi-chain strategy to me is the future. And so I think if they can pull off this seamless, let me mess around across multiple exchanges and play and trade, I think they're going to have a very bright future. And so
No, you're absolutely right. That's that, you know, I kind of noticed what you, before I say what I was going to say, I kind of noticed that sort of feature you said in one of the other pools. I'm like, God, I didn't really realize that was there. And I kind of looked at it because it wasn't, I was making it tricky for me to figure something out,
right.
You know, and then I was looking at it today and I'm like, oh, okay, that all works.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Making it easier for me too. You know, look, you're talking about the Super Mesh router protocol that they have.
Yep.
There's a token out. It's about 330 right now, but there's a dual farm pool on DFYN in the dual farm section, DFYN and router. It's not a locked, it's, you know, take it out whenever you want kind of thing. But you know, so I put something in there. Yeah, and you get router and you get, or you get route and you get DFYN. So it's an easy one to, you know, compound back into every day because you don't have to convert anything. So, you know, router delay, it's supposed to be really, really good. It's in this extensive code audit with the top, I want to say like Halpron or Halborn, whatever the best, one of the top code audit. And they're very thorough and there's no outside influence. So,
right.
And they've been fixing issues they've been finding. And, you know, these guys are playing it right. They don't want to release something that's half baked. And blow it. So I'm in that dual farm pool. I like it. It's easy to run. You know, and you should take a look at that yourself.
Great. Definitely will. I like that. I like that number and I like the way it looks. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, that's all I have for today, buddy.
I'm good. Other than it was a great morning so far.
Yeah. And, it's a good day.
You know, dopamine's going on day. All cylinders. It's all green.
That's great.
Good. So.
All right, bud.
You have a good weekend.
Thanks, man. You too. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
See everybody on Monday. All right, bye.